Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our PM meeting. It is 1:30 PM on July 9, 2022, and time to reconvene the regular meeting of the Snohomish County PD Board Commissioners.
Mr. Olson, it's July 19th.
What did I say?
July 9th.
Okay, thank you. She's my savior.
I'm the president of vice.
July 19th, 2022. I'm Tony Olson, board president. We have with us this afternoon board vice president, Rebecca Wolf. Board secretary, Commissioner Sid Logan, John Harlow, CEO, general manager, Ann Spangler, general counsel, Melissa Collins, commission and executive services director, Allison Morrison, assistant deputy clerk of the board. The red record will indicate others who are present. Please remember to turn off or mute your cell phones or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located at the deputy clerk station near the entrance to the room. Commissioners, do we have any items to be added to today's agenda?
I have none.
No, I have not.
I have none. John?
Commissioner Wolf, your microphone is off. Your microphone is off.
Oh my goodness. Thank you.
This afternoon, comments from the public is agenda item 2, and that is the time when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located, again, by the deputy clerk station at the entrance to the room. If you're joining us by Zoom, please click raise hand or dial star 9 if by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you are from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents for the commissioners, please leave them with the deputy clerk at the table by the entrance. How many times do I have to say that? Sorry. And for the board, please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second to ensure all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. I'll now ask you to join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda item 2 is comments from the public. Do we have anyone in our audience that would like to address the board? Do we have anyone on the line or through Zoom that would like to address the board?
First, we have Gayla Schumann.
Good afternoon, Gayla.
Good afternoon, commissioners. Yes, I'm Gayla Schumake, and I'm from Edmonds, Washington, and I have 3 comments. The first comment was to thank the opt-out project, where you're only going to charge $5 for people who want to opt out and send in their own reading. I know that other companies have charged a lot, but also they have got significant feedback from their customers and had to make changes. So I think you made a wise decision. The second is to let you know that the audio for your for your commission meetings is still fuzzy. It's been fuzzy ever since you've gone back to meeting in person, and it's just fuzzy. Every once in a while, it gets better toward the end of the meeting. It got better toward the end of the meeting this morning, but it was really fuzzy. That first presentation, I could scarcely understand what she was saying. It was so much feedback on it. So if you could look at that, I would really appreciate it. The third is that I have a question about the information on Tony's background on the voter's pamphlet, which I just read. It says,
excuse me, counsel, would you please remind us of the rules for public entities?
We don't normally take public comment about campaigns in the public meetings. We keep those separate, so we don't use any of the district time resources associated with the campaign. So if there's a question, that should go individually to the person who's running.
I'm sorry, I could not understand that, you guys. That fuzziness. I have no idea what you just said.
Ms. Schumann, can you hear me now?
I can hear you if you speak slowly.
I will do so. This is Ann Spendler, the general counsel.
Yes, hi, Ann.
Yes, thank you. We don't take up campaign issues during public meetings. We keep a separate line between campaign activity and the district's regular business. So if there is a question related to the campaign, it should be directed to the individual who is running that campaign.
So I just need to send a question to Tony then.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, well, I will do that. It did have to do with the voter's pamphlet, so I will send that to her. That's all I have for today. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gail. Do we have anyone else?
Yeah, we have Ryan Epper.
Ryan, I didn't get the last name.
Escobar.
Good afternoon, Ryan.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Espigard. I'm an attorney with Gordon Thomas Honeywell. We represent Forever Energy, a Washington-based company dedicated to providing an all-in-one solar plus storage battery system for the residential market. My comments today are a follow-up to a detailed letter I sent to the commissioners via email yesterday. On July 5th, you voted to approve the disposal of certain surplus property during the third quarter of this year. Item number 5 on the surplus property recommendations made to the commissioners called for the PUD to pay to dispose of approximately 97,000 gallons of vanadium electrolyte solution that is part of the MESA 2 vanadium flow battery system that is being decommissioned by the PUD. We ask that you reconsider the decision to have the PUD pay to dispose of the solution because Forever Energy is willing to pay $3.6 million to acquire it from the PUD. Disposal as currently planned must not occur because it would unnecessarily destroy this valuable asset. I would like to tell you a bit more about Forever Energy's plans. Forever Energy is working to bring its residential battery system to market. The battery system is a modular vanadium flow battery that relies on the same electrolyte solution that is contained in the district's MESA 2 battery system. However, Forever Energy's battery is not the same as the PUD's failed system. The PUD was an early adopter of vanadium flow battery technology, and the design used in the MESA 2 project had a number of problems associated with pumps and gas management that rendered the battery ineffective. Additionally, the battery's manufacturer went bankrupt, eliminating any way for the PUD to remedy the problems with the system, which is why it is now being decommissioned. Forever Energy is implementing a new design on a much smaller scale than the MESA 2 project that effectively addresses all of the problems experienced by the PUD's larger battery system. Importantly, the electrolyte solution does not degrade and is not the basis for the problems the PUD experienced with its battery system. The solution in the PUD's possession now is the same quality and form as when the PUD took delivery of it years ago. Forever Energy would like to acquire the solution that's currently set for disposal and plans to reuse it in its smaller modular systems. Through communications we have had with the PUD's legal team, it is clear that potential liability associated with the handling of hazardous waste is a concern for the PUD. However, since the electrolyte does not degrade and is intended to be reused, it is not a waste. It is the same hazardous material that it was years ago. The precautions that were taken when the solution was delivered to the PUD are the same precautions that could be taken again. The material could be handled by an appropriately licensed and insured contractor that specializes in the transportation of hazardous materials. By treating the solution as a continued useful product, the PUD will actually avoid the greater potential liability associated with final disposal of a hazardous waste under hazardous waste regulations. We ask the commissioners to reconsider the decision to destroy the electrolyte solution. The solution must not be destroyed. Instead, Forever Energy is willing to pay $3.6 million for the acquisition of the solution, which will benefit ratepayers and the environment. As for next steps, I remain available to answer any questions the PUD may have, and we are prepared to follow any process set forth by the PUD that results in Forever Energy being able to bid to acquire or handle the disposition of the solution. In particular, we ask that CEO of Forever Energy, Craig Jones, be given the opportunity to meet with any key decision makers.
Excuse me. I just wanted to give you a heads up that you have about 30 seconds.
Thank you very much.
In your time frame.
We would like for the CEO, Craig Jones, to be given an opportunity to meet with any key decision makers regarding the acquisition. He was unable to be here today as he is in Washington, D.C. at the moment, meeting with advisors to President Biden in the executive office of the White House with respect to Forever Energy's facility in Shreveport, Louisiana. He eagerly seeks an opportunity to share more about Forever Energy's plans and the critical significance of the electrolyte solution. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you very much for your comments. We will now move on to the consent agenda.
Do we have another speaker?
There's no one else.
No one else? Okay. We will now move on to agenda item 3, the consent agenda. And before I identify the items, commissioners, I would like to move and take separately 3B, bid awards, professional services contracts and amendments. I move to take that separately.
So where does that go? Does that go under 4?
It would still be under 3. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Consent, therefore, we are considering A, approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of July 5, 2022, and the special meeting of July 13, 2022. 3C, consideration of certification, ratification, and approval of district checks and vouchers. 3D, consideration of a resolution adopting and approving a restated adoption agreement regarding the Public Utility District Number 1, Snohomish County 401k Savings Plan and Trust, an addendum to the adoption agreement, and 2 amendments to the Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County 401k Savings and Trust Plan.
I'm about to move it.
Did you call for a motion?
Would you call for a motion?
I called for a motion.
Oh, okay. I move approval.
Do we have any questions, commissioners, on 3A, 3C, or 3B?
I have none.
Do we have anyone on the line with questions?
We do not.
Thank you. I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We will now move on to agenda item 3B, awards, bid awards, professional services contracts, and amendments. Commissioners, do you have any questions on these items?
Need to move for a motion. Ask for a motion.
Another motion?
Yes.
I move approval. Thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions on agenda item 3B?
I have no questions.
I do have, do we have anyone in the audience who can give me some more background on RFQ number 22-1292-CS, full-length pressure-treated wood poles?
Do my best, Commissioner, Clark Lancaster, Contracts and Purchasing. You just want a brief overview of the process? I did receive your questions in advance this morning.
Did you?
Yes.
So, just a brief overview. I think they're just a general theme in terms of the questions I was asking.
Sure, absolutely. So, just as background, there are the two treatment types that were in the specification for this bid, either the QNAP or the DCOI, and I hope you don't ask me to pronounce the chemical name for DCOI. We'll just leave it at DCOI for now. So both of those treatments were in the spec, and bidders could have bid on either of those treatments. So it was not restrictive anyway. Those are the only two in the standard. We were aware of four potential bidders who treat wood poles and use various treatments. As you saw in the award write-up, we only received bids from Stella Jones, and because they are in a transition right now with some of their plants from the QNAP to the DCOI, they bid both. Both of those poles will meet our spec with those treatments. It just depends on when they transition to their Arlington plant from QNAP to DCOI, then they will start shipping DCOI to us from Arlington rather than the QNAP from Oregon. So we tried to structure the bid knowing that that was a potential transition that vendor was going to make, and that there were other vendors out there who could provide different treatments. We tried to structure the bid so that we had the greatest leeway in terms of poles that would meet our specification. We didn't want to specify just one treatment and then have it not be available because a vendor transitioned the treatment that we used at a particular plant. So we tried to keep our options open with that. We certainly would have anticipated that others would have bid, but there are market conditions and some strategic concerns. Poles are very difficult to ship and expensive. So, and Stella Jones has acquired several of the other historical bidders in this commodity. And so right now the pool of bidders is smaller than it has been in the last 10 years. That's sort of where we're at. It was not in any way a sole source. And I think that you also...
Oh, I knew that.
Okay.
I was at a snip. Go ahead.
And then you also had questions about the pricing and the escalation. And what we found in the last couple of years, especially since the pandemic, that if we put a hard cap on price increases, then we would find ourselves out of contract because bidders would have bid a price. And then if their prices, the underlying prices increased, they may not be willing to provide that material to us at the bid price. So we've tried to adopt an approach where we have them justify any price increases using other underlying market indices or their costs. I think you saw a few weeks ago a slide in the presentation we made about supply chain where Howard had a spreadsheet that outlined all of their costs to us, or all of the costs to them that made up the price that they charge us for transformers. And so we would expect that from Stella as well. If they were to ask for price increases from their original bid price, we would expect them to provide us with the underlying cost components.
Again, in my notes, you saw that. I guess that I always ask, I'm so used to our folks being able to be really tight and negotiate, thou shalt not exceed. And I just wonder if there's any other way to, what you're saying is they need to provide you with data that supports, and you're going to be reviewing it semi-annually.
That reflects the market volatility at this point. Even an annual increase in many of our material commodities, an annual increase would not conceivably cover any price price fluctuation, price upward pressure that might occur.
So if we ever get through this mess of supply chain, then we would then negotiate a reduced price. Is it ever going to go down? I'm sorry. I'm not used to seeing these, and I can appreciate them.
I'm not an economist, so I couldn't tell you that. I can tell you that I've only, in my career in 30 years, only negotiated one that went down. Most of the time, the pressure is upward.
And then I had, and it wasn't clear to me, and maybe I misread it, but the Planet Arlington is converting. So I guess I was concerned about if that doesn't come to pass, what's our alternatives?
It would be our expectation that Stella would be able to provide us poles either from the Oregon plant or from the Arlington plant. Either one of those and either one of the treatments they currently use at those plants would meet our specifications. So obviously we would want it to come from Arlington because there are some instances where we could deliver directly from their plant to one of our facilities nearby rather than have it come through ops and all of our transfer of that pool. So that would be our preference. But we would have two plants available.
Okay. Because the way this was worded, I guess I read into it that, I don't know, I think I said in my notes, kind of speculative. Are they going to convert it for us or for other customers too?
Obviously, our requirements for pole treatment would influence their decisions, but there are other utilities who are holding back on their decision to go from QNAP to DCOI, so they're, as the industry changes from one treatment to the other, they would make their decisions based on what treatment they have at which plant based on that. But clearly, our allowing for DCOI would influence their decision to convert to DCOI.
So if during the term of the contract the prices go so high we just can't bear it, can we cancel the contract?
Absolutely.
And then we agree that
yes.
Well, and the other thing, and I'm sure it's there, if we didn't get another bid, it's pretty hard to compare the market. But I would think that being located so close to us, that the price per unit is probably lower.
The poles are a regional kind of commodity because the cost of shipping them even from several states over would be prohibitive to compete. So if you had a pole supplier in, say, Wyoming or the West, just the shipping costs alone would price them out of the market. So that is our price for the vendor at this point that's able to provide poles that meet our specification.
And this is 7 years, you said?
5 years.
5 years with renewable, with?
Correct.
How many more years?
This is the first, your approval would start the first year.
And how many are in that sequence? I forgot.
Five.
Well, I hope you understand. I didn't get all of this out of the description.
I understand that, and there's a lot of information there, and we concentrated more on the environmental aspect of it because that was a good start.
And that is, I'm 1,000% there, but
we should have spent more time on the competitive
aspect. I'm an old federal contract administrator. Thank you very much.
Sure.
I will entertain a motion.
So moved.
Do we have anyone calling in with questions? I will now call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. I do appreciate you taking the extra time to explain. All right, let's now move on to Agenda item four, items for individual consideration. Consideration of a resolution authorizing the CEO general manager or his designee to execute the necessary contracts with Faber Construction Corporation for construction of the North County Community Office project. I will call for a motion.
I move approval.
We have, well, that wasn't me. We have Jessica, Rab, and should we have any questions?
I have no questions.
Is this exciting or what? Kind of feel like another a few hundred feet up the hill.
Yeah.
All right, I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. We will now move on to agenda item five, CEO General Manager's Report.
Thank you. I have a number of items that I'd like to share this afternoon. Starting from our distribution and engineering services group, during routine maintenance of the Hat Island submarine cable last month, district crews discovered mechanical damage of the existing submarine cable that provides service to Hat Island. The crews had a high level of confidence that the mechanical damage was the location of the single phase fault, cable fault that had occurred on October 2018. District crews planned for the cable repair, taking advantage of an extremely low tide that occurred on July 12th. Excuse me, the work was performed successfully and safely with Reed Mackey and his crew completing this play by 9:30 a.m., 1 hour ahead of the low tide. The crew energized and proofed the cable and reburied it on the beach, allowing the Hat Island reverse osmosis plant to return to district electrical service and allowing for the removal of the rainfall generator. This highly successful repair will also allow a higher level of reliability to the island as we await permits for the upcoming new submarine cable construction in the fall of 2023. A huge success story and another great example of our highly talented TPUD. Customer and Energy Services. Customer service continues to make significant incremental progress towards reducing our aging debt. The total aging debt was reduced by $3.3 million between May and June through creative outreach, streamlining processes, and outstanding employee efforts. Furthermore, the dollars associated with the accounts past due enough to become eligible for disconnect dropped by $2 million from $17 million to $15 million in total. This was all accomplished by only having to disconnect an average of 18 customers per day during that span. It's a great example of how our assistance programs, our knock and talk pilots, and an effective payment arrangements are making a positive difference to our aged debt and our community. In community support, several projects are underway. Mocotillo has launched a utility assistance program we have been supporting and collaborating on for months. We expect to see the first rounds of customer pledges within the next few weeks. The Department of Commerce has begun the second round of data collection for the allocation of $100 million in utility budget proviso. We are sharing our information and expect to have preliminary allocation information in August. And our program with Snohomish County and Workforce Snohomish for utility rental assistance has concluded. And through June 30th, we were able to apply pledges to almost 2,200 households, receiving over $2 million in pledges. Just a few community engagement activities. Kim Johnston, Melissa Collins, Doug O'Donnell, and I had a great meeting with Community Transit CEO Rick Gentritz and a few folks from his team. Meeting included a tour of their new administrative office building and of their fleet operations facility. Lots of good conversation on how we can collaborate in the future on their electrification efforts. And we are also planning to get on a regular meeting rhythm of having quarterly check-ins going forward. Kim Johnson and I also had a great conversation with County Executive Dave Summers. We continue to meet with Executive Summers and his staff on a quarterly basis. Attended the State of the Port of Everett last week and took the opportunity to thank Lisa LeFevre, for her help and collaboration on getting the necessary agreement in place for us to perform the due diligence for using an area on the port property for the new Hat Island cable takeoff. The week before last, we hosted Congresswoman Del Benny at the Arlington Microgrid, and Commissioner Olson was a part of that tour and conversation. One of the reasons I teed this up is because that tour all came about from our What's Up newsletter that gets distributed to all the electeds. As I understand it, we had highlighted the Arlington Microgrid in one of the What's Up newsletters, and Congresswoman Del Benny's office noticed and reached out to us asking about the tour. And also, Yvonne Sims, Quentin Harrington, and David Kruger represented the PUD in the Everett 3-on-3 tournament. They did an amazing job, made it all the way to the semifinals, and ended up with the third place. And that was with only three players, which meant no sub. I did happen to see Quentin a couple days later, and he looked like he needed a few days of recovery, but super proud of the team and their efforts in representing the PUD. Couple other items, quick update on our DEI effort. We are recruiting for additional spots for the next phase of work that our inclusion committee will take on, and our consultant Cheryl Gordon will be back in person to the PUD in September, and we will be ramping up her engagement and time spent with the PUD in the last quarter of this year, and then starting even more so in January of next year. Also, an update on the Murray Inslee process on the Lower Snake River dams. We submitted our comments to the consultant on the draft report that was due by the due date last week, and we will be sending you, the commissioners, a copy of those comments this afternoon. I also want to mention that our team of Garrison Marr, Kim Johnston, and others, along with Tacoma's team, have met with Jim Kramer, the consultant hired to develop the report on a number of occasions. In fact, Kramer has asked for additional meetings with our folks, which I believe is a strong indication that he really trusts our perspectives and the information and that we have been providing, and they see us as trying to engage in this process in a helpful and constructive way. And lastly, and it is with mixed feelings, as you may have heard, Ann has given her retirement notice. Certainly begin our search for a general counsel, but Ann's shoes will be extremely hard to fill. Her breadth of knowledge, both from an industry perspective and specifically the Pacific Northwest, is expansive. And again, will be extremely hard to replace. And her leadership, both for, on behalf of, and throughout the district, is just been exemplary. So she will be greatly missed.
Ditto.
It is, congratulations.
Thank you so much for your service, Ann.
We'll have a what? You're not going tomorrow, are you?
In October.
26.
We can give her a bad time for
a few months.
A few more months.
Cheers.
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 Are you really retiring? I mean, retiring.
I'm going to take retirement. I don't know what I'll do next. Could be anything.
Could be.
And that is it.
All right, commissioners, let's move on to agenda item 6A, commission reports. Do we have any reports, commissioners?
Well, the ribbon cutting was lots of fun.
That was great, wasn't it?
Is this the right place to say that? Yeah, it was a wonderful event. It was well organized and produced by the team. About half a dozen people or more, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's great.
That's my first ever ribbon cutting.
You handled those scissors very well.
Boy, she was like.
They were big scissors. I stayed back.
Yeah.
They were my time to cut.
Well, she was kind of. They were kind of drooping at the end because you're so small. But those were some big heavy scissors.
I didn't know beforehand that I was going to have that honor, and I didn't tell anybody. I have severe tendonitis in the right hand.
She got
you
a wristband.
She got it done.
And it was fun. It was very fun. And the cookies were fun.
You know, no real report. I just wanted to comment on a couple of things that me and John reported. You know, it's wonderful that cable got
Yeah.
And I have to wonder, when a lot of people came to work for TUB, if they never thought about repairing a submarine cable. A lot of utilities don't have those. And then that's wonderful news that our CSRs have been so effective and at getting that bent down. I mean, that is really hard. And those customers, I'm sure, have been struggling since the start of the pandemic. And it's thrilling to have another elected official come look at our microgrid, and because they've done something in one of our government affairs publications.
Yeah.
Cool. Wonderful.
And we say it often, but it's truly the case. We do have a fantastic group of customer service representatives that really go above and beyond to help our customers.
And, you know, I think people really see that when they call in. I only called in a few times as a customer. It's just been the last few years. And it's always been something complicated, like solar credit or whatever. No simple questions. And they answer the questions. I don't get passed off to somebody else. It's just completely different than the customer experience most of us have when we deal with everything else in the world. So it's really, so I'm so proud.
Yes. Well, Commissioner Logan and I also did the report of Port of Everett.
We did.
That was great, except that they needed some white noise in that room. It was at, but please remind me of where we were at.
It's the Hotel Indigo. It's much smaller than in the past year.
And it was like being in a wrestling arena. I mean, it was so loud. Anyway, but it was a great event. They are doing so much. I learned so much. All right, let's go on to 6B, Commissioner Event Calendar. We got that? That's what we were doing. Those were the
four. That's what we're on.
Yeah.
You're right.
I would like to attend. Just a second. The safety days, if you would be good enough to add me to that.
I'll resend the email and
the papers for you. Okay. I think there was one other thing that was interesting. Just 1 second. For now, that's good.
When are we going to dedicate the ribbon coming, cutting on Quail Coat? Was that September?
It worked.
Well, home works,
even
but
fast chargers.
But the biodigester, were we planning to do something?
Yeah.
I have never been there. I want to go.
Yeah,
I
mean, a tour or a ribbon cutting?
Ribbon cutting.
It's an EV chargers ribbon cutting. Another one.
No, this is Quail Coat biodigester.
Yeah, that's at Hope Works. Right.
Yeah, that's at Hope Works.
I think. Commissioner Olson's talking about, are we having any kind of an event at the Quail Coat? Just completing that project, and I'll let Jason speak. I don't think we have anything, but
yeah.
Well, I don't want to create something that is. I just thought it would be great if we were. If leave it to Tony and get it started. I don't know. I just thought it might be a great opportunity for the Tulalips to join us in ribbon cutting.
Yes, please.
Yeah, this is Jason Zaskowski, Assistant General Manager. So we do not have something scheduled right now, but I think it's a great idea. I was out there last week, and you know, it's a fun place to be, and it would be great for everyone to be able to see that, and a lot of work's been put into it. So we can take that back and talk with the Tulalips. And
I didn't mean to add to your already busy schedule, but I think it would be cool.
I think it's a really good idea. Yeah, there's been some good collaboration with the partners to make that happen. So I think it's a fantastic idea. And you can get a tour.
Any more covers?
No.
My waiters. Is it really like that?
When I was out there, it was dry and it was graveled. And it's like a nice PUD site. So
okay.
You'll be good to go.
Well, great. I'll be looking forward to that. Now the governance agenda item 7A, the governance planning calendar.
Would the trip to Qualco be an addition to this governance planning calendar?
Yes, we were not aware of it until just now.
Yeah, okay. So, yes.
Yeah, and I do see on October 5th, we have the microgrid ribbon cutting. A lot of ribbon cutting.
Well, that's fun. We have fun with those.
It is fun.
Okay.
Can I say one thing on that note?
Yes, Jason.
That'll be a great opportunity to see the North County site as well. We're starting up there, and you know, the team's just done an absolutely fantastic job on the whole North County, and you know, the bid award today.
Yeah.
To get the bids back that we did, and kind of tight.
They were tight work as well. Yeah,
it just speaks to the work that they did on the bid package, and we saw that in the submission to Arlington too, and getting the permits back, you know, questions. I'm just super proud of the team.
Yeah. It's kind of like getting birth.
Yeah, it's super exciting.
Okay.
I love it when things go to construction.
Well, I'm not sure. I want to be out there digging dirt. is there anything else, Joe, to come before the board? Hearing no further business to come before the board, it is now 2:11. And the board will recess into executive session to review the performance of a public employee under the terms set forth in the Open Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last approximately 1 hour with no public comments. The commission will immediately adjourn the regular meeting upon conclusion of the executive session.